this is Dexter Abraham with My Note-Taking Nerd. This is our inaugural first episode of our My Note-Taking Nerd podcast, and I'd like to welcome my partner in crime, nerd number two, Lewis Lalane. How you doing, Lewis?
Doing good.
Today we're going to be talking, as we will in the future, about some of the key strategies and techniques, tactics that we learned from some of the best, most expensive, most elite seminars, business building seminars of the last few years. What I'm going to be doing, Lewis, is I'm going to read some of the notes that, you know, the nerd team as well as you have taken from some of these seminars. And we're going to start with the Anthony Robbins and Chet Holmes Ultimate Business Mastery Seminar. And for the listeners, so you're aware, I'll actually be reading the notes from the program, from part of the notes or some of the key strategies from the My Note-Taking Nerd reports. And then Lewis and I will be discussing these key tactics and or strategies. Again, this first seminar is the Anthony Robbins and Chet Holmes Ultimate Business Mastery Seminar. One of, in my opinion, the best seminars that I've actually heard over the last few years in terms of building your business. What's your opinion on this seminar, Lewis?
That's what I was just going to say, is that what I believe is better than this, than a lot of other seminars, and Evan's kind of incorporated this, is that it had Robbins and Chet Holmes, and what Robbins is a master of is head trip, taking care of all the shit that stops you from even doing all the business stuff. And so when you team his advice with Chet's marketing advice, plus all the other people that he brought in to come speak on certain topics, it made it, you know, a perfect storm. It covered everything that you need to be able to have to implement.
Well, you know, that's a great segue, Lewis. It leads me right into the first key strategy that we learned from this seminar, which was individuals are how companies change. Companies only change when individuals find more ways to add value. Breakthroughs only come in change in psychology, change in your beliefs, change in your emotions. As a matter of fact, almost 50% of businesses die within the first year of existence. Common, you know, for the listeners, you've probably heard that over and over. And after 5 years, what you may not know is that 80% of businesses are out of business. And in 10 years, it's 96%. So that means that you, as a business owner, have less than a 4% chance of succeeding over the next 10 years. So the odds are stacked against you. 500,000 businesses start each year. At the end of 10 years, only 20,000 of those 500,000 will be left. And these numbers are from good times. They're not based on today's economic climate, which you and I both know is not so great, Lewis. But, of course, that's a psychological aspect in and of itself. Your ability to master yourself, Tony Robbins says, is the first level of you being to impact your business. So he calls it the first level of impacting your business. Then what influences you tends to influence whoever you're leading, which then tends to influence business. People don't execute because of state. Fear takes over, all your decisions change. If greed takes over and you think you can do no wrong and you just start coasting along, this leads to challenges as well. So what are your thoughts on this, Lewis?
Well, we've been talking about this as of lately with the Steve Jobs book coming out.
Yep.
And you know, from just finishing it, what kind of state was pretty much normal for when he walked into a room with his team. And it's my impression that the state that he came from wasn't, hey guys, you know, let's think about, you know, how we can do some good things, and you know, what are you guys feeling? What are you guys, you know, it wasn't soft, nice, it was intense, right?
Intense, congruent behavior that, you know, inspired others to follow him. And at the same time, you may have heard that Steve Jobs was known for maybe being a tyrant or a bully. And that's, you know, again, another lesson in and of itself. But the reality is that he was consistent in his behavior. He was consistent in his state the entire time he led. As a matter of fact, he got thrown out of Apple in the mid-80s because of that type of behavior. But it was that exact type of consistent, strong behavior for him that allowed Apple to become the company that they became, because I personally believe that it took that type of leadership. It took that type of leadership to create the company that he created. And the other thing I want to talk about, Lewis, is, you know, it talks here, it says individuals are how companies change. Well, that's something that I always talk about in my coaching and consulting, is the fact that I personally think that, many other coaching programs leave this aspect out of their teaching, and that's the teaching of inner game, the teaching of that you have to, Jim Rohn, the great Jim Rohn, said you have to work on yourself more than you ever work on your business. Isn't that what he said? Or something similar to that? And I personally think that you can only grow your company to the extent that you're willing to grow yourself as a person. And that's why I always start with inner game in any program that I do. Part of the reason I believe that the other gurus don't use this program is because why? What's your opinion? I mean, Lewis, why do you think other gurus are not, teaching inner game as much as they probably should be?
I think a lot of them, I think what they can't do is make the segue between, okay, I got this awesome system that's going to show you how to do this, and one thing I think a lot of people don't want to acknowledge is the fact that most people don't do anything with the product.
What about what have you heard about selling of inner game or personal development stuff? I mean, is it easy to sell?
There's a lot of there's an argument to say it is and isn't, because a lot of it's sold.
Yeah.
It's a heavy duty niche, but it's a lot harder to sell that versus selling something that promises somebody a tangible result. Okay, so I'm selling you a box of something, and you're supposed to have something you can feel, touch at the end, see in your bank account at X amount of time. You do this step, money's going to show up. You don't get that with personal improvement. It's fuzzy. That's why it's hard to sell in a sales letter kind of thing, because you're having to sell dreams, pictures, aspirations, and more times than not, they have to always leave that loop open as, it might not work for everybody. Everybody's kind of different, whatever. And it's versus hardcore system, step 1, step 2, step 2, or like step 3. And that's what I think.
No, I agree. I mean, but again, coming back to what Tony's talking about here and what I'm speaking of is that I think that, and the reason I actually chose to start with this particular, this particular strategy is because I personally think that, that personal development, inner game, whatever you choose to call it, is the most important aspect of your business life, although most people do not think about it. As a matter of fact, but the other strong point that I want to make is I do not believe that there's any one program that works spectacular for any one person. We have some great resources here, such as our, Wake Up Productive program or Anthony Robbins' Time of Your Life program in the form of notes. And I get asked often, we have our own personal productivity program. In the end, though, what works for me may not work for you as the listener. And one of the challenges I'll throw out there is that you begin to become self-aware as to what works for you and quit buying into the philosophy that the gurus have the perfect answer or that Lewis or Dexter has the perfect answer. Because the truth is, Lewis does some things that I don't do that, frankly, whether it's a mental block or whatever it is, I don't think they work for me. But they definitely work for him, so they're not wrong. It's just that different strategies work for different people. So I encourage you to work on yourself and find something and find things that work for you. So number one strategy is individuals are how companies change. Learn to control your state. And when you do that, when you lead centered as well as being congruent with who you are as a person, as a leader, you're going to be much more effective from that state of mind than if you're trying to be somebody else or you're leading from an incongruent state. Would you agree with me, Lewis?
I agree and extend on that. What he focuses on, too, is if you're scared, you're making decisions out of being scared versus out of being certain and believing in what you're doing.
And Tony talks about that. That's like the state you always want to be in as a leader is a state of certainty, correct?
Correct.
So the next thing that Tony talks about in this program is the strategy 2 from Ultimate Business Mastery is what creates a business breakthrough. It says decision making is the force that shifts destiny, personal or professional. Most people don't have the guts to make tough decisions because they want to make the right decisions. There's three decisions that making in your life and in your business that you're making in your life and in your business moment to one. Now, the first decision is what should you focus on? Whatever you focus on, you're going to feel it. If someone focuses on their needs over the needs of their customers, is it going to affect their business? Absolutely, for sure. Leaders make decisions. That's what makes a leader. They have the guts to make the difficult decisions that no one else has the guts to make. And they know they're going to make wrong decisions. Then what? They know that they know what they want. They see it's not working, and they make another decision to change what they're doing, and they keep cycling through this process until they get their desired result. Tony calls that his ultimate success formula in his Unleash the Power Within weekends. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Now, the second decision, so again, decision 1 is what should you focus on? Decision 2 is what does this mean? So when the market hits bottom, is this the end or is it the beginning? If you think this is the end of your business, the end of opportunity, the end of your economy, are you going to feel differently and act differently than if you thought it was the beginning? The difference between Joe Kennedy with $4 million in 1929 and Joe Kennedy with 180 plus million in 1939, that big of a jump, different focus, different meaning. When everyone else was throwing in the towel, he was focused on the opportunity and taking market share, and the meaning for him was that this was the greatest opportunity of a lifetime. Now, frankly, do you know who Joe Kennedy was, Lewis? Because I'm not getting it. Do you know where the Kennedys. Oh, the Kennedys. There you go. Sorry, guys. I just had a brain fart on our inaugural podcast. But, yeah, I mean, so from the Kennedys, I can't imagine in today's terms what that is, but it sounds to me like he made $176 million in 3 years. Is that correct? And so that was his focus. So what you choose to focus on is incredibly powerful. And then finally, the third decision is what are you going to do? So at that point, the whole economy is driven by this. Oh no, this depression is going to go on forever. I better not spend money. I better not take chances. I better not take risks. Decision making is your power. If you want to change your business, think about what's changed your business in the past. I guarantee you what changed, it was some decisions you've made. Now, my thoughts on this is that for me as a person, the one thing that I've noticed, the one key thing that I've noticed for myself is the big difference between the leaders that lead companies, and this includes myself, and those that follow, is the ability to step up to the plate and make decisions. Because if you think about the difference between people that follow versus people that lead, it ultimately, in my opinion, the key difference is that the people that are leading are willing to make decisions. And think about this, they're also the people that are unwilling to make decisions that are in following mode, they come to them, they look to them to make decisions during tough times. Would you agree to me, Lewis, with me on that, Lewis?
I would.
And did Tony, do you remember anything else that he shared about in this process that we should be sharing with our listeners, or did I explain it pretty well?
Explains it pretty well.
Good. All right, so the third thing, or the third strategy from Ultimate Business Mastery, is that leaders are masters of influence. Now, what's the single most powerful constraint in relation to whether your business is going to grow or not? You, the business owner. If you're going to shift a company, your job is to take leaders to a new level or bring in new leaders with different voice, perspective, or skill sets. Leaders solve problems and maximize resources. If you're going to solve problems, you can't do it yourself or it would have already been solved. You have to get others to help you do it, and this requires influence. If you're going to get people to maximize resources, that's going to require influence. If you're going to get people to partner with you, that's going to require influence. Capital, suppliers, anything that you want in your life or business, requires influence. So there you have it, the top three things that we learned from Ultimate Business Mastery. Now, I'll recap. What was the number one thing? That individuals are how companies change. Learn to master your state. Get a personal development. Get an inner game program. Two, what creates business breakthroughs? Get better at making decisions. And most importantly, making tough decisions even though you're scared. And then finally, leaders are masters of influence. That you need to and by the way, one of the books that I'll recommend is a book called Persuade Anything. The author's last name is K-N-A-U-S-S, I believe. And it was recommended to me as Book of the Decade by the late, great Ed Dell. Did I just say late, great? I have no idea why I said that. He's not dead, and Ed Dell, I apologize if you listen to this. But Ed Dell, the amazing Ed Dell, I should say, recommended this book. It's very, very good. So now we're going to talk about, we're going to move into some of the key strategies and tactics that we learned from Eben Pagan's Get Altitude program. And I'm going to go ahead and pass this off to Lewis, and he's going to read some of the strategies. So what's the first strategy or tactic that we learned from this program, or that one of our guys pulled from that?
Number one is you got to get the market and the people right and test the hell out of everything and then scale what works. So if you get the target market right and the product or services you sell to them right, the marketing almost takes care of itself. If you get the right people, they'll drive the systems, which leaves you to drive the marketing and people.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory. So what's the second thing there, Lewis?
Number two is you have to feel what your customer is feeling to communicate with them, so they actually feel, they get this sense of, wow, somebody, they get where I'm coming from. And the first place you should go to access this is what Evan calls use case thinking. So if I were this person, this is how I would feel. It's a real quick sentence description of what that means. So something magic, it happens when a person feels understood. When a person really feels understood, they have the emotional suspension of disbelief. So spin selling is one of Evan Pagan's favorite selling systems, and that's where he refers people to in this course, because he talks about, in relevance to this, you have a situation, you talk about the situation with them, figure out their problem, figure out the implications of that problem, and the payoff for solving that problem.
So that's situation, problem, implications, and payoff. And I think that's a great formula. And I want to speak to that, Lewis, because I think this is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And as a matter of fact, I would actually say, in my opinion, that if you get this right, you can screw up a lot of other things. I mean, you can really fuck up, I mean, just about everything else. But if you get this one thing right, if you really, truly understand your market, you can and will succeed. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that for the most part, in my opinion, we've been able to string together some success here at My Note Taking Nerd by doing exactly this. I think I personally understand you as good as anybody, because I believe I've been in your shoes. And I'm talking to you, the listener of this podcast, the listeners, the readers of My Note Taking Nerd. I think that one of the most powerful ways, something that we're doing a lot here, and one of the things I recommend that all of you do, is that you schedule regularly time where you're speaking on the phone with your customers. I think in today's social economy, we spend way too much time relying on email, relying on Twitter, Facebook, things like that, where we don't have interaction, real conversations with our customers. One thing that you can do that we're doing is to offer free consultations, but offer real free consultations, not fill in the blank and we'll provide give them the carrot and stick scenario where you're giving them a bunch of fill in the blank crap and then hoping they'll buy something. Give freely from your heart, communicate with your customers, ask them about what they're feeling, connect with them, and share with them about how you're feeling, because it's my belief, for the most part, the majority of you, the majority of entrepreneurs, we are all in the same situation, meaning that I think we're all feeling similar feelings, you know, and I'm speaking to the 90% mass market that are struggling paycheck to paycheck, that are struggling week to week, project to project, trying to figure out how to implement the latest program. The majority of us, and I'm referring to Lewis, I, and you, the majority of the readers that have either been there or are there now, and if you can just connect with that and remember that, I think it'll be the most important thing you ever do in your business. Unfortunately, ask yourself this question in the offline world, which is, when was the last time any business ever actually had a conversation with you outside of a sales presentation? I can tell you that in my 40 years of life, I do not recall anybody, including the so-called internet gurus. I don't recall anybody actually having a real conversation with me about my fears, my frustrations, my desires, and so forth. Have you, Lewis? I mean, have you ever had an actual business take time to want to get to know you?
Well, the thing I think about is, think of somebody you probably have given the most money to in any hobby, niche, whatever, anything like that. You think that person would do that. You know, you've given them a lot of money, and yet, still, no. I can say no. I haven't talked to Nordstrom's. I haven't talked to, you know, anybody from the car dealership. You know, yeah. A lot of people hand over a lot of money to car dealerships, realtors, you know, a lot of different places, and yet the only time you hear from them is when they want something from you. That's one place where you're going to fuck up big time if you do it in a free consultation, is if the free consultation is a pitch, is nothing but disguised. That's what you'll hear. You hear, I think I heard it on Salty Droid or somewhere, reading about that with all the ideas. The guru set up a phone room, and the phone room is nothing but disguised, you know, guys, a telemarketers jumping on the phone and getting in. And
I don't want to cut you off, Lewis, but I think it's important because it brought up something. We just got back from a walk. We're here in Arizona. We went out for a late night walk, and one of the things he had brought up, Frank Kern and a gentleman that he's doing business with and was doing business with, and I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll share with my opinion, which I'm not afraid to give, is that I think that it's important. I think it's very important because a lot of you may know, for instance, that Frank Kern has come back into the internet marketing world. He had, quote, retired and went into really high-end consulting, and he had partnered with somebody at a phone room. But I actually heard that it didn't work that well. I don't know that that's true, but I know that it makes sense to me that it might not have. And I'll tell you why, and I haven't even shared this with you, Lewis, but the reason that I believe that is because I think it's important for people to align who it is they're selling to the market, their avatar, if you will, with who it is they're doing business with. So if, in Kern's instance, he was the best buddy, the surfer guy, that the average Joe understood, that, you know, that this guy gets me, he understands me, and he aligned with this high pressure guy in a suit that, you know, was known for, you know, balls to the wall, I'm going to sell you type stuff, and he's good. Don't get me wrong, he's good at what he does, but I'm not sure the two cultures aligning was the best fit, because see, if I'm a Frank Kern customer. And he contacts me. And again, I don't know. Again, I want to be very clear that I don't know that it was or wasn't. It might have been incredibly successful. But whether or not it was, I believe that I don't think it was a good fit. I think that the typical Frank Kern customer would much rather have somebody approach them via the phone, talk to them in everyday Joe Blow, you know, we're sitting on the beach, we're about ready to go surfing, and have a conversation with me about how they can help me with my business, my life, give me some free stuff, and then, you know, casually let me off the hook, give me some subtle influence, but not pressure me into buying. Because I've watched a lot of Frank Kern sales videos, and I don't know, I mean, I don't remember him being a high-pressure salesman. Would you agree with me, Lewis?
No, he's all about low-key.
low-key, you know, me and you are alike. You know, I've been where you are, and I understand you. So aligning, again, talking about the, you know, the concept of the free coaching, you know, you got to be careful about as to who you align yourself with. Because even though they may be really good at what they do, their culture is, you know, definitely may not, you know, you have to make sure that what they're doing aligns with what you've been selling the market over a long period of time. I think that's important to do. And me personally, I think because of people's ability to jump in and be part of a tribe, be part of something that's beyond them, that's bigger than them, and contribute to something that's bigger than them, with these various social media tribes that people can be part of, it's you know, if you screw up this aspect and people feel offended, they feel like they feel threatened by your sales process, they're just going to move on to the next tribe that's not going to do that to them. You have any thoughts on that, Lewis?
No.
Okay. All right, what's the next strategy from the Get Altitude program? And by the way, folks, I want to say that of all the programs that we've done here at My Note-Taking Nerd, probably the number one program that I like to go back to and read, as a matter of fact, I just read it the other night again for maybe the 10th or 15th time, is the Get Altitude program notes. I love them. I love the program, and I'm not trying to sell them to you. I'm just saying if you have it, if you have the notes, I encourage you to read them all the time. I just think it's a phenomenal program. So, Lewis, what's the next strategy there?
Number three is value is the emotional drive that you feel when you want deliverance from pain into pleasure. So this is a form of currency. You need to translate this result benefit that the customer wants into currency so that you can use. So the common denominator form of currency is money. So how much money would it be worth to have deliverance from pain? Whatever it ends up being, you know, I free him from hip pain, as I had as an example here. So you're looking for where the lines cross and it becomes a no-brainer. Then you ask, how can you translate that currency into real-world terms? How do you describe their pain in a way that lets them know you understand it, and it's something you can trade them money or relief for? So you need to create a bridge between these two different worlds.
And so that, again, to sum that up, Lewis, I mean, they're talking about the bridge between, you know, the pain someone has and the money they're willing to part with to get rid of that pain. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that essentially what Evan's trying to say there? So I believe, I mean, a name you could call it, I've actually heard this before, is a value bridge. And for namesake, that's what I'm going to call it today. Ultimately, I believe what Evan is trying to teach there and what Lewis just shared with you is that, and again, the only way you're going to know this is if you really understand your customers. So going back to the second principle, you have to understand your customers, your market. If you understand them, you should, you know, by testing price, you're going to find out what price are they willing to pay to get rid of the pain, the frustration, it's not always just to get rid of pain, it's to
move towards a desire.
To move towards a desire.
Or a goal, or correct. Aspiration.
So again, number one was what, Lewis? Sorry. One was get the market, the people right, and test the hell out of everything else. So get your market, understand your people, and then test everything. Test your marketing. Two was you have to feel what your customer is feeling to communicate with them so they actually feel a wow experience. So we talked about getting to know your customer. And then the third one was that value is the emotional driver that you feel when you want deliverance from pain into pleasure. So we talked about the value bridge there. And then four is?
So four is the ultimate form of marketing is often allowing your prospective customer to experience your product or service. So what can you give away to your prospects as a sample, starter? It's easy to distribute in mass quantities, but carries massive value. So what are the most valuable silver bullet techniques you've ever discovered? If somebody tried them, it works every time, and you ought to charge, and you should be, you know, charging big, big money for this. You want to write down and know. You want to know what this magic bullet, your magic bullet ideas and techniques are. He suggests you write them down in the seminar. It's like a part of a exercise he does. Now, how could you offer, you know, a sample, consultation, free analysis, and how could you deliver these at a low cost to masses of quality prospects? Take these best idea techniques and put them into something educational on your website, report, like in a report form, audio, video, etc.
I think that's self-explanatory. But again, going back to, you know, you need to understand your market. And once you understand them and you know what it is that they want, one of the things I'll suggest is, and not just suggest, but I believe it to the core of my being 100%, is that you need to lose the scarcity mindset that if I give too much away, people won't buy. I believe the exact opposite. I think you can give everything away and give it away 10 times. And I think the more you give away, I believe that the more people will want more. That's been my experience. It's never failed me. When I've ever got scarce about, you know, what I might be giving away, in my opinion, I've always lost in the end. Do you have any opinions on that, Lewis?
Yeah, dude. The one place where I know that you're going to mess this up is if you give away theory with no way to implement what you're talking about. Because there's people that need to be able to appreciate it, they need to be able to implement it. And if it's just an idea, you're not going to have the same impact, you know, as something where somebody, like he points out in this, somebody should be able to do this and have a result show up in their life. And so I think that's huge. It's going to be huge for making a value case for what you're selling.
And on that point, Lewis, I'm going to go ahead and end with that. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, everybody that is listening today, that they, you know, right now I would encourage you to do the following. Number one is I would immediately think to yourself, what is a book, a program that I've been putting off related to Inner Game? And, you know, maybe it's Psycho-Cybernetics. Maybe it's Anthony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within. Maybe it's some meditation course. But what's something that I can immediately do to begin to work on my inner game, knowing that that's the most important investment in time and money that I could do for my business? Number two is,
let me go ahead. You real quick. Because one of the reasons I think people don't do shit with inner game stuff, they have a bunch of it sitting on the shelf, is they're not honest with themselves, and they're not honest with themselves, and they tell themselves stories that keep them from doing anything with the products and keep them buying more products. So if there was one resource I would tell you to go buy that's going to give you practices, that's not just going to give you, you know, theory, like I was just pointing out, is Brad Blanton's. He's the guy that wrote Radical Honesty. He wrote another book, but it's nothing but practicing. So I'm trying to remember the title, but it's like practicing radical honesty.
I think just what's the last, how you spell his last name?
It's Brad, B-R-A-D, Blanton, B-L-A-N-T-O-N.
Okay.
And what it is just, it's the guide, it's the action steps for how to stop bullshitting yourself.
Well, that sounds good. I'm gonna have to get it myself. I haven't read it. I'll load it on my Nook. I don't have an iPad yet, but I'll load it on my Nook and read it for sure. It sounds really good.
Talk about iPad. You need to get that Amazon.
The Kindle?
No, the Fire.
Oh, the Fire, yeah. I want to check that out. And for you Apple lovers out there, I apologize because I know there's some of you that might just jump off because I mentioned the word Kindle. But that being said, the next thing is... ask yourself, what are some tough decisions, you know, and understand that a tough decision doesn't have to be life-changing. It doesn't have to be, you know, one of the things I preach in my coaching program is starting, you know, small, that find a decision that you've been putting off that, you know, may not seem tough, but you just haven't made it. You haven't made it. And think of some decisions, write some decisions down, and make some tough decisions and begin to build that muscle, that decision-making muscle. The next thing I would recommend you do is that you look into, you know, developing your influence skills. Cialdini, Robert Cialdini's influence book, I mean, that's a phenomenal place to start. Tony Robbins, what's the program, Lewis?
It was originally Power to Influence.
Power to Influence, and then now it's called?
I don't remember.
Well, it's a new version of it. You can find it on Tony Robbins' website. I think we have the notes for it. You can email us if you want them. There's a small cost, obviously. I don't know, but I think we have the notes for it. But bottom line is those are two resources I could recommend, as well as the Persuade Anything book I was speaking of earlier. But how can I develop, you know, ask yourself that question. How can I develop my influence skills? Because that's a core skill that is you're going to be required to have as you go forward in building your business. And then moving into the Evan stuff that we talked about is, you know, do I understand my market? Am I clear as to who my market is? And do I have the right people? You know, market and people. Begin to think about how you might, you know, what are some of the things you might do to, you know, really get clear as to who your avatar, your customer avatar. Develop your customer avatar. A resource there, Guru Blueprint, the Guru Live Summits, anything Evan Pagan has some phenomenal processes for developing the avatar, as well as if you email me, Dexter Abraham, the email address is mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com. You can request the Frank Kern Core Influence course. There's some really good avatar building lessons in that, and I'll send it to you for free. And then I think Lewis was going to say something.
If you go to the site, I gave you the notes that I pulled from Guru Blueprint of how Evan describes. It's called the single most important lesson Evan Pagan hammered to death in Guru Blueprint, which is this idea of getting to know who you're talking to. But he gives the process of how to do that, and I gave you all the notes. So just look up that post. It's a two-part post. And if you look that up, you get all from everything I took from that.
Phenomenal. That's a great resource. And, I mean, honestly, people would be charging a lot of money
insights on it
for that. And it's a phenomenal process. I encourage you to do it. And then the next thing is, you know, begin to communicate with your customers. Start setting up some personal interaction. You know, quit this crap of email. You know, the ability to, you know, give the short answers, to not really connect via social media, email, and so forth. Actually connect, you know, where people can actually hear you and get to understand and talk to people via the phone. You know, find a way to pick up the phone, get on the phone with your customers, however that is, whether it's a free consultation, whether it's just, you know, I want to get to know you, please get on the phone, let's talk. Just find a way to talk to your customers.
Well, and it definitely find a way to do that with the people, with the 80% of your list, you know, or the 20% of your list that are giving you 80% of your profits. Do whatever you can to get into those people's heads, because those are the people that are voting with your wallet versus with their wallet versus, you know, just making a comment on your site or have never bought anything from you kind of thing.
All right, well, that's it. We're signing off for our inaugural first ever My Note Taking Nerd podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. You can email me if you have any questions at mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com. That's Dexter Abraham. You can email Lewis Lane at notetakingnerd2. That's the number 2, so it's notetakingnerd2. It's not spelled out. It's the number 2 at gmail.com. We appreciate and are honored for you allowing us to be able to do this, to be able to share with you and our site. And as always, you know, if you want access to the notes, you can find them by hitting the strawberry on the website, which is our store, at MyNoteTakingNerd. You go to MyNoteTakingNerd.com, and it's on the right-hand corner, like the second box down. You'll see a big strawberry, and that's our store. If you want any of our resources, but most importantly, we hope you got value out of today, and then most importantly, we hope that you take action on some of the concepts that we were able to share with you. Thank you. We'll talk later.